Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, I debated just opening this video with a long sigh, just a long sort of, it's just another one of
them. Here we go again.
Here we go again, because we said, and we've done a lot of Cyberpunk news, obviously, you know, it's one of the biggest games of all time. There were statistics this morning saying that it's the biggest digital launch of all time, and that considering the amount of refunds that have come in, it hasn't actually hampered the overall sales of the game, and it's still sold like 30 million copies, etc., etc. But there's still a whole bunch wrong with it. There was at launch, and there'll continue to be, because the latest 1.1 patch, one of the bigger patches that they were talking about at the end of last year, the whole, you know, we're going to do big patch in January, big patch in February, and hopefully that'll sort major things out, has only released to more problems, because whatever the game-breaking bugs that is now in the game is that Takamura will ring you and then just hang statically in the corner of the screen, just sort of looking at you forever, which is brilliant, which is a thing that I had with Delamain, which also crossed over. I don't know if I ever told anybody, you this or anybody else this, but with all of the Delamain quests that are in that game, the amount of times that the taxi AI will ring you, I had a one where Delamain would ring and just hung there, just statically, just waiting. And then that, every time any other character rang me, they were always in the background. So it was always like a character talking to me with Delamain just sort of like his way in the background, which, you know, it can be funny. But the Takamura stuff, you need specific dialogue from him to obviously progress. He rings you for a specific reason to trigger specific missions, which now a whole bunch of players can't get. So that goes alongside the fact that over on the Reddit, a lot of the fans who are sort of comparing the state of the game before the 1.1 patch, the first proper patch, as opposed to a hotfix, the general conversation around Cyberpunk is that this is not a sizable enough patch, that there's still massive problems, obviously, with the AI still. There's a video doing the rounds of various AI refusing to walk up some stairs next to V's building, just sort of walking around in circles. The police stuff is still all over the place. And so Cyberpunk continues to be cyberpunking.
It does, mate. And, you know, like, this one sucks in particular because, I mean, like, that's the main mission thread with Takamura. So if you encounter that, you're going to have to go back to a previous save to get around it or wait for another patch, which, you know, hopefully comes soon. Hopefully a hotfix comes in really quickly for this. But, you know, who knows when, you know. I mean, I've talked to you to death about when something similar happened to me in a side mission thread relating to Johnny and Kerry, and I just... it sort of broke me in the whole game. Like, I can imagine people playing through this right now, getting to this point, you know, excited because they think the patch 1.1 is going to fix a bunch of stuff and now it's going to be a flawless experience, and then interact with this and be like, the same. Nothing ever changes. War never changes. You know what I mean? But I think, like, when it comes to, like, the discourse around Cyberpunk, I feel like, yeah, we are just kind of exhausted at this point because it's clear now that there's going to be no quick fix for this. It's going to be a cumulative thing. And even when they do introduce fixes, that's going to have, you know, unforeseen effects, especially because undoubtedly they're going to be working at such a rapid pace, which, you know, isn't great to begin with. So they're going to be pushing out these patches. Those patches are going to fix a lot of stuff, potentially break some things in the case of this. And it's going to be this constant process. Like, there's not going to be a silver bullet fix for it. And I think every single time we do a news on it or some news comes out, a new report, they release another apology video. It's just more kind of sobering evidence to the fact that Cyberpunk's not going to be ready for a long, long time. You know what I mean? Like, if you've got it now,
the more that comes out about it, the more it's like, this was literally there's a lot that I like about it. There's a lot that I think is recommendable. There's a lot of character writing. There's a lot of world building. There's a lot of, like, the gameplay, the basic shooting in that game, I think is satisfying as hell. There's a lot of stuff that I think is really, really good in it. But the more stuff comes out about this, where it's like fundamental issues that clearly were not, very close to the finish line before you put the game out. Therefore, you know, it only required X number of weeks, X number of months to therefore fix and have a patch like this that would just sort of just tweak minor things and it'll all come together and whatever. It seems more like we're getting to the point where this was fundamentally a whole year from release. Like the dev said in the Bloomberg report, that they thought they were aiming for 2022 and that the idea of a 2020 release was just hilarious. And so I don't know. I don't know if at this point they would just be better off just putting their hands up and just, I mean, they've already kind of, they've admitted it anyway, you know, like Marcin Nowinski's like, oh, it's a managerial problem. It was on us. We're the ones who forced the game to be released. And the devs were the ones screaming, it's not ready. At some point, do they just put their hands up and go, actually, we're just going to wait? Because, like, you know, it's not even on sale on PlayStation, even after this 1.1 patch. It's only the sales data that I mentioned before comes from PC. And so, which is obviously one of the more sort of fixed versions of it. But I wonder if they just rescind all versions until later this year, or maybe just say, actually, we're going to aim for 2022.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a unique position because while you can compare this game to, you know, the likes of Anthem or Fallout 76 or, you know, No Man's Sky, for instance, you know, in the case of No Man's Sky, we always talk about how they just got their heads down, you know, worked on the game and then won back fans. But the big difference was when it comes to No Man's Sky, the big issue was, you know, a lack of features, you know, the lying in the run up to release and stuff like that. Like No Man's Sky, when it launched, at least was like a playable full game.
The base version was still enjoyable, yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was still like it was a version of that game. But in the case of Cyberpunk, like it's so broken to the point where like it's you can't just put your head in the sand and work on it and hopefully win background players later, because then you're just leaving the tens of million players who have picked it up kind of like, you just leave them in the lurch, you know what I mean, with this game that is fundamentally broken. So you've got to keep plugging away at it, you've got to keep chugging at it. But I feel like, you know, the studio heads, the managerial teams, you know, the CEO of the company and stuff like that needs to be clear that it, like, there's not going to be the instant fix. Yeah, you might have big patches coming out in January, you might have big patches coming out in February. But I think if you leave it vague, you also leave the potential for people to put too much stock into them, think they're going to be this kind of massive overhaul that's going to justify their purchase, when realistically, like, it's probably not going to be, you know what I mean? Because it's going to take a long time to fix. But like you said, you know, at some point, at the end of the year, at the end of 2021, like, that seems like a doable time frame, but certainly not January, certainly not February, certainly not really anytime soon to get the core of it put back together after it was just smashed up.
I also really wonder as well, because speaking of No Man's Sky, like, obviously like you have all this version of the game that was marketed, these lies that were literally said. You have literally in No Man's Sky's case, Sean Murray sitting on Colbert faking a version of the game and then hoping they can get there later on, and they have that whole sort of, it's unique, well, semi-unique to video games. Like, you have this version of the game that exists in the minds of consumers because of marketing, and then you don't deliver on a whole bunch of those features. How many of those are, can be said that the developer actually didn't want them in the end, that over the course of production multiple years they were like, actually we don't want to have XYZ features, versus the reality of having to deliver on the thing that was advertised? Because now, and it's completely culpable in Cyberpunk's case, that there's marketing out there selling it as a GTA equivalent. There's still a CG based trailer where V's sitting opposite like a mob boss and they're talking about taking over Night City, and it's like, oh, you're gonna have to get like a new spine and you're gonna have to take out, and it shows like an apartment that you can hopefully get, which is only available in like one of the endings, and you don't even get to keep it. Things like that. And I kind of wonder how much over the course of all this stuff, do they have to then try and make a version of Cyberpunk that does tick those boxes? Because for me, a lot of the problems that are, you know, getting widespread coverage, like the police AI, the NPC AI, like, and I'll just be totally honest, like, I didn't focus on them when I was playing. I was focused on the story, I was focused on the character writing, I was focused on the gunplay and the stealth and things like that. And it's not like the AI is perfect, but it does fall apart when you start inspecting it that way, which you would do more so, I would say, in a crime-focused sandbox open world. But I think there is a version of Cyberpunk that is wholly enjoyable if you go down the story route, providing it doesn't crash. But I kind of wonder how much they have to try and change it now, or at least try and sort of get closer to delivering on the wanted system, the police stuff, the car chases, you know, the GTA stuff that was clearly part of the marketing, but I wonder what was ever part of the actual game.
Yeah, I mean, there was some fascinating things in the Schreier Bloomberg report where he was talking about, you know, I think it was the, I always forget his last name, but, you know, one of the co-founders, Adam.
Oh, it'd be Adam Badowski's the studio head.
Yes. Essentially taking over, like, the creative lead and wanting it to be more like GTA, you know what I mean? So you have these kind of, like, warring ethos, allegedly, inside the studio, which you can see in the finished project. Like, yeah, agreed. Like, I never interacted much with, like, the crime system. Mm. But at the same time, if it's going to be implemented so slapdashedly and they literally spawn behind you once you commit a crime, like, don't include it at all. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need it at that point. If it's going to be that so much of a ticking a box back of the checklist thing, like, why bother? Those resources could have literally been better spent anywhere else. So it's, yeah, it's a big question of Cyberpunk's future, because I feel like even without the bugs, there would be a, you know, a section of the fan base picking this thing apart for the lack of features that were advertised, for the issues with the life path and stuff like this. So it just feels like this, like, massive mountain that it even sucks to report on, because it's like they've got to fix all these bugs. Mm-hmm. They've got to get it in a state where it's actually playable. And then we've got to start interrogating, well, is what version of this, is this the version of this game that players were expecting? Is it the version that they sold? Is it the version that they set out to make 8 years ago? Like, what happened to the features outside of the brokenness of the implementation of them?
That whole 2016 thing where Adam Badowski came in and they had a bit of a shift in the project goals, let's say. And then that was apparently when a bunch of The Witcher 3 veteran devs left, because they had a whole version of what Cyberpunk was, and then it was changed in 2016. And that makes me wonder, when did those specific marketing pushes start getting greenlit? When did they start chasing more of the GTA comparisons? Which I don't think come through entirely, but they are there, like I said, in that CG trailer. And then how much does that then affect what was being made? Because one part of the Bloomberg report in regards to the police stuff is that some of the devs were like, we didn't really know what we were building. One side is this RPG thing and this character focused thing, and the other is this open world carnage thing. And it's just like, pick a side. Like, you know, it's going to have to focus on one of them to bring the project together. And I guess that's going to be part of the what happens across 2021. But I guess the assumption that one of these major patches was just going to implement a police AI system, better driving, whatever, that's just going to be a much further down the line thing, unless they can do some Herculean feat in February. But that's the only other patch that's scheduled that sort of, you know, adds more NPC scripting and stuff like that. But for me, the more I see it sort of like lumber together, for me, the version of Cyberpunk that I got was totally satisfying. Played it on PS5, it worked well enough, and I love the story and I love the gunplay. But the more that they continue to drop the ball in the areas where, you know, there are clearly problems that were advertised, clearly problems that people are having, I don't know, it's like a weird patience erosion thing where I'm just kind of like, oh God, maybe you should just step back from this. Like, all
well, this, I'm at such a crossroads with it, man, because at the same time, I'm like, this sucks for anyone who's bought into it, on like, especially old gen, and is just waiting for these patches to come out, spent their money, you know, might not have been able to get a refund or whatever, and is waiting for the game to come together. And on the one hand, I'm thinking, you know, this isn't good enough, this should have been fixed. On the other hand, I'm like, it sucks to push for that, because I'm like, I don't want these poor devs who have already had to, like, you know, sacrifice so much to get a version of the game out, to have to, like, just constantly push through these patches, work through this backlash. Like, it's just all bad, man. It's all not good. It's not a good situation at all. No. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel so weird about it in a way that I've never felt weird about reporting on a game before, you know what I mean? It's strange.
I think the more insider reports come out, the more it's all completely valid. Like, I mean, we share the side of being consumers and also being aware of the realities of what go into making a game this big, at least through the conduit of what someone like Jason Schreier can put out. I think that all of it is fascinating, and hopefully all of it's a learning experience, especially on their part, because now those devs have the power to say, look, if you guys don't give us the room to make this, to work on this specific thing, here's exactly what will happen. And hopefully that just works out better over time. But that element of time is the thing that I think they need the most of, and because they've already got out there immediately after the broken launch last year and said, oh, we'll have patches in January, February, they've already just doubled, they've already continued the worst thing, which is the thing that broke them in the first place, which was committing to dates that they can't hit. So
yes.
I don't know, it's a weird place, and obviously over to you down in the comments, let us know what you think of Cyberpunk 2077, because these stories aren't going to be going away anytime soon unless a literal miracle happens next month with the next patch. So yeah, let us what you think down in the comments below, the state of the game. And for now, Ivan Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I mean, Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.